Amos chapter 5. This, as I read this, I thought this is so reflective of our day. Isn't it incredible that something so long ago can still be applicable, still be relevant? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know that's still relevant today? All the way from the beginning to the end, it's all still relevant. It still helps us and our need and meets our need today. And so Amos is no exception to that. The conversation here is over Israel. And I hope that you understand. I know that the church does, but as we're joined online by people, I hope that you understand that when I refer to historical events, I'm not criticizing Israel or the Jews. I mean, the Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We are friends of Israel. But history doesn't lie. Same thing if I criticize, you know, somebody for what they've done. That's just truth. So don't think that I'm anti-Semitic. I know that's a term that's been thrown around a lot lately. I hope you never think that about me. But in verse 1, he says, "Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel." So it's not just a message of warning, but it is a message of a broken heart. It is a message of sorrow. Guys, when we preach, when we talk to people about their sin as a church, if you go talk to your brother or sister about their sin, about their backsliding, it's not because you're angry. It's because you hurt that they are heading down the wrong road. You understand something? If you are living in sin, you're heading down the wrong road. If you are embracing your sin, you're heading down the wrong road. If you're embracing your sin, you can't have your arms around your sin and hold hands with God. It just doesn't work out. And so we've got to make sure. Look, I'm not saying you lose your salvation. We know you don't lose your salvation. But you can't serve God while you're serving sin. Can't do it. And so he says it's a lamentation. It's heartbreaking to see the people who live in sin. They're backslidden from God. They leave God. They snub their nose at God. In fact, some of them still preach. Some of them still pastor. Some of them still go to church and still thumb their nose at God and think they can get away with it. Let me assure you, you'll never get away with it. We won't get away with that. The Virgin of Israel is fallen, he says. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There's none to raise her up. And I think of the speech by Ronald Reagan before he was president. He said, if we lose freedom here, there's no place else. This is the last stand of freedom. We need to know that. We're looking at our world today and all that's going on. This is not politics. This is just truth. We need to know that freedom is under fire in this land. I know as I consider Germany and Russia and all those countries that have gone the way of communism and socialism, I'm sure that they said like we say, well, that'll never happen here. I want you to know something. As an individual, I made some ideas in my mind. I made some decisions in my mind. I said, I'll never do that. How many of you said that when you were a kid? When I grew up, I'll never spank my kids. Took that back quick, didn't you? But those kind of things, we think we know it all. We think we have a clue of how it's going to go. But in reality, just like that, guys, we're losing our freedoms in this country. They fined that church, North Valley Baptist Church, Jack Treber, $10,000 for having church last week. Incredible. For having church. Second Amendment protected. It's in the Constitution. And you say, well, he'll win at court. But why should he have to go to court? Anyway, okay, that you might think that's politics, but it's just truth. If there's none to raise her up. Guys, who's going to help America if America falls? Who's going to save us if we fall? And I don't know. I look at what's going on in the country, and I pray, Lord, I don't know. I think I see where we're going. I think that's good, and I think it's going to work out all right. But then I start thinking about the signs of the times and the tribulation and the rapture, and I think, well, I don't know. Maybe it's not going to go so good. And maybe we are going to lose our country. And maybe we are going to lose our freedoms. Again, we don't think it's going to happen, but the Bible tells us tribulation's coming. Could it be that this is the sign of the end times, or could it be that it's just America? Could it be that America would actually fall and become what we now call a third world country? Could it be that America will fall and decline like that? I tell you, Rome did it. How'd they do it? The same way America's doing it. Overtaxing, sin, debauchery. Those who call evil good and good evil, God talks about that in His Word. Happy is that nation whose God is the Lord. Bible says that. But we're losing. We're losing. Better wake up. I'm surprised at the ignorance of people. And I'll tell you this, we better get out and vote. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but you better get out and vote. Now come to me after church, I'll tell you. Verse number three. Those who are watching online, you can call in. I'll talk to you. Verse three, thus saith Lord God. The city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100. That which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and ye shall live. What is it going to take to get America back to God? I mean, I'll tell you something. Capitol Heights is doing great. God's blessing us. We're doing well. And we've got a whole church of people that aren't attending right now because of the coronavirus, but we got a whole bunch of other people that are. And I'm glad. I'll miss our people that are gone, but I'm glad that we've got visitors coming and people joining and people getting saved. That's good. That's what a church should do. He says, seek ye me and ye shall live. I would think that with all that's going on in the world, all the signs on the horizon, I would think people want to get right with God. I would think people want to make a decision now to serve God. I would think that people right now want to get their family right with God. Boy, if your children aren't saved, you need to reach them. They need Jesus. Or your parents or your brothers or sisters and cousins and neighbors and friends and anybody running. Everybody needs Jesus. And if it's somebody you're going to miss, if they don't get to heaven, you better get with them. Because we're coming to a close here. People are dying at a young age. With all that's going on, this pandemic, young people are dying. Yes, old people are dying. Young people are dying. And it's in all different ways. We better wake up. Seek ye me and ye shall live. Verse 5. But seek not Bethel, nor enter Gilgal. Pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely come to captivity. Bethel shall come to naught. What are we looking for? Who are we hoping in? Is your hope in Tallahassee at the Capitol? Is your hope in our governor? Is your hope in our president and the White House and the Capitol? I mean, it's hard to get anything accomplished politically and bureaucratically. And we're in a mess. Is that where our hope is? Or is our hope in God? Is our hope in the Lord? Do we get frustrated and do we find it to be a crisis when the government can't get things accomplished? No, our hope's in God. Our hope's not in government. Seek ye me, verse 6, ye shall live, lest ye break out like a fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. He who turned judgment to wormwood. Let me say this. The government has legalized things that the Bible stands against, but just because it's legal doesn't mean we should do it. He turned judgment to wormwood, he says in verse 7. Leave off righteousness in the earth. So judgment. The things that are going on, and you see the news as much as I do. In fact, I came Wednesday night. I didn't know about the current events because I'll be honest with you. When I get home from work, usually all that's on TV is Disney Channel. I don't get to watch the news anymore. In the morning, it's baby shows. In the afternoon, it's Disney Channel. So I don't get up to date at 5 or 6 o'clock. But y'all see what's going on. Y'all see how they'll jump to the defense of a rapist and a murderer and overlook the person they killed or raped because it fits the narrative. The stand that they've got against the law enforcement now. It's tragic. What are we going to do when there are no police? And then when the citizens shoot somebody, then they're mad at him. They attacked a guy here at the Capitol yesterday. He was walking around Now, look, sometimes you go places and stuff happens. And that's what happened. Somebody jumped him, and then a couple of people jumped him. He pulled a gun. And then they backed off, and then they're mad because he had a gun. Guess what? If he hadn't had a gun, they'd have beat him senseless and probably to death. Because that's what happens in these places where they're having these riots and these demonstrations. Demonstrations are supposed to be peaceful. And you go in there, and I'll tell you what, if you go in there unarmed, you're a fool. Because if you get knocked to the ground, you probably won't get up. And you can like it or don't like it, but that's the truth. We've taught called good evil and evil good. I know, and some people say that's political, but it's just fact. That's right, exactly. They scattered, didn't they? And then, guys, okay, let's take a break, right? There are people buying guns at a record rate. I told you the numbers a couple of weeks ago, statistically. Unbelievable. Everybody. I talked to a gun dealer the other day, and he said, Derek, you won't believe. People who would have never had a gun are getting guns. And they're getting their concealed carry permits, and they're getting training. Please, if you have a gun, get trained how to use it. Know what you're going to, don't just think, oh, now I got a gun. No, you need trained how to use it. And we have people that will train. Get with me. We'll get you set up with a class, or with a trainer. People have begun to understand what I've been saying for years. My number one responsibility is the safety of my family. Look, you call the police, they might be 20 minutes away. You better be able to respond now. So, for what it's worth, you say, is that in the Bible? Jesus told them to bring a sword. Remember that? And they say, well, we have this. He said, that'll do. So, yes, it's biblical. Yes, it's scriptural to be armed. They've turned judgment to wormwood. To judge the law, to enforce the law, has become poison. Justice should be sweet. We should appreciate justice. That righteousness should go forth. Verse 8, he says again, seek him. And maketh the seven stars, no Orion, and turn the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Verse 10, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate. Oh, you go around and tell people where they're wrong, they won't like you. How many of you like it when somebody tells you you're wrong? Nobody likes it. But look, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, that preaches righteousness, that preaches truth. They abhor him that speaketh uprightly. And the Bible even talks about how there'll be conflict in families. Why? Because the parents want their children to grow up and do what's right. You want to know how to get them to grow up and do what's right? Teach them what's right when they're young. They need to know what's right, and they need to know what the consequences are. Somebody asked me the other day, one of the children said, why do you discipline us? And I said, because you need to know there's consequences when you do wrong, when you don't follow the rules. Please, if you get pulled over, cooperate. A long time ago, I was told, you never argue on the side of the road. Sign the ticket. Go to court. And if you get arrested, you get arrested and argue your case before the judge. Nobody wants to go to jail. But you know what's better? Is to go to deal with the judge. Don't deal with it on the side of the road, please. That's just right and wrong. When we were young, and y'all probably remember this, my dad was a deputy sheriff, and used to be when you got pulled over, you'd get out of the car and go back and talk to the deputy. And I can remember one night we got pulled over, and my dad got out of the car, and things had changed. Get back in your car. He said, oh, okay. That's not how we usually handle these things. The times have changed. And you know, it's anxious out there. Just be cooperative. Be kind. That'd be a good thing everywhere, wouldn't it? Verse 11. Actually, let's go to verse 13. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. How many of you have had to bite your tongue lately? Boy, I tell you what, I got into a discussion yesterday and it got a little
loud right off.
It didn't take long. And I'm sorry that's the case. But I want you to know something. I know that you think you're right. And if I didn't think I was right, I'd change my mind, wouldn't you? Obviously, we both think we're right, so when we disagree, it can elevate. The Bible says the prudent shall keep silence. It's better just to let it be. How many times somebody invites you to an argument and you just say, no, thank you, don't want to go there. Don't want to discuss it. Don't want to go there with you. I love you too much to have this discussion. The prudent shall keep silence. In that time, for it is an evil time. Now, I also believe that we ought to speak up. I believe we ought to take a stand. I believe we ought to set things right. The prudent know the difference of timing. There's a right time and a wrong time. There's a right place and a wrong place. And there's a right person and a wrong person. Why would I argue with somebody who can't solve it anyway? If you've got a complaint, take it to somebody who can change it. Don't just argue with people, random people. It won't matter anyway because you both have opinions. Okay. Did it solve anything that you both have opinions? You're not friends anymore. That's all it solved. Hopefully you're still friendly. Verse 14. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil, verse 15. Love the good. Establish judgment in the gate. We need justice. We need right. We need wrong. We need to be able to tell the difference. We've blurred the lines way too much in our day. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. So here he says, look, when we fall, nobody's going to help us up. When we fall, there's no coming back. When they leave, there's going to be a remnant, a very small amount left behind. But here he says this, if we'll get right, maybe the Lord will be gracious to us. As we've been preaching, I've been preaching this same stuff for the whole time I've been preaching. But the morals of our country have been in decline ever since I've been preaching. And it doesn't get better. It's in pockets it may get better, but as a country, we're having to embrace every kind of mental illness, every kind of lunacy, and make it normal. It's not normal. It's wrong. It's wrong thinking. But we got to embrace it and say it's normal. It's not normal. Next thing, and by the way, didn't we say this 30 years ago? Next thing is to normalize pedophilia. Adults with children. And they're working as hard as they can to make that normal. Oh, but that's not our goal. 30 years ago, right? That'll never happen. They're pushing it now. And I hope they break every one of these rings that's going on. I hope every one of them gets capital punishment. I think they ought to get a preacher and a prayer before, you know. But if there's one thing that I am just, it's beyond my ability to accept, is somebody that will hurt a child in that manner. We need, and we're headed that way. Where's that coming from? You know the answer as well as I do. Because it's normal in Islamic countries. It's part of their culture. And so we've made little pockets in our country. We say, well, they can do it there. No. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. But we're normalizing it. Moving closer. It may be the Lord will be gracious to the remnant. Verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness, not light. Oh, we read this morning Revelation 22 where John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. We're ready, right? We want to go right now. Lord, you got the rapture? We'll go. Ready for the trumpet. But while we're thinking of the relief that we'll get from being in heaven, being with God, reuniting with loved ones, let's not forget that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Let's not forget that God's going to examine our lives and He knows stuff that nobody knows. Let's be mindful of that. Not only that, but think about those who will be left behind, because there will be. Think about those who are religious. They'll be left behind because they didn't have Jesus. They had religion, But religion won't get you saved. It's going to be a bad day. Look at verse 19. As if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him. Went in the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Boy, he thought he was free when he got away from that lion, didn't he? So proud of himself for getting away from that lion. And then the bear. Thought he found safety by going in the house, leaned his hand against the wall, and a serpent bites him. Just when you might think you can relax, let your guard down. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's what the Bible says. We need to keep our heads on a swivel. We need to keep our hearts right. God says in verse 21, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offering of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. Think about that. God says, stop. Imagine God looking down on Capitol Heights Baptist Church as we were singing tonight. I mean, after Bobby and I got done, I wouldn't blame him if he did that. But you imagine he looked down on our singing tonight and he said, stop. Oh, stop. I don't want to hear it anymore. Why? Because it's not the tune. It's not the key. It's not the words. The point is your heart's not right. And God said, what's the point of you singing if you don't get it? And the sweet by and by. And the sweet by and by. You know, are you thinking about the sweet by and by? We shall meet on that beautiful shore. Are you thinking about that? Are you thinking about being there with God, home of the soul? Are you thinking about that? There we shall rest, never to roam, free from all care, happy and bright. Jesus is there. He is the light. Think about that. Oh, can't wait to get to heaven. Do we really mean that when we sing it? Because if not, you know what God, point you that. Don't want to hear it. Consider that. He says, I don't want your offerings. I don't want your perfumes, sweet smelling offerings. Don't want it. Because it's senseless if your heart's not in it. It's senseless if your heart's not right. You want to give an offering to the church? If your heart's not in it, you might as well keep it. Honestly. Because God's not impressed. Verse 24. For let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Judgment and righteousness. Which side are we going to be on? We're going to be on the right side. Is thy heart right with God? Are you right with God tonight? Are we right with God? It's a question that can only be answered between you and the Lord. And so ask Him to examine your heart tonight. I tell you what, it'll make a strong America is strong families, strong churches, strong individuals. Lifted by our faith, driven by a desire to serve Him. Not to impress the preacher, not to show off to the church, to please Him. If we're right with Him, nothing else matters. Let's stand. Father, draw us to You tonight. We want to be exactly as You have planned, as You designed, as individuals, as a church, that we'll be in Your Word. God, we love America. I hope nobody misunderstands. I love my country. But I weep over my country and the condition in which we find ourselves today. Those who have left the principles of Your Word. Churches who have left the principles of Your Word. Christians who have no conviction to do what's right. God, help us.
Help us to do what's right. Forgive our sins. Make us useful. Dismiss us now with your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.